Welcome to Tosfos Markings. Today's shiur is Boma Basra Daf Dalet. Today's shiur will begin at the 12th wide line on Daf Dalet. We're continuing with the general topic of Hordas that we started in our previous shiur. Hordas had reconstructed the Beis HaMikdash. Amri, mi shelo ra binyan Hordas, lo ra binyano miyomov. Anyone who did not see the structure that Hordas erected, we can say regarding him, has never seen a beautiful building in his life. B'mai banye, how did he, with what did he construct it? Omar Rabba, bi'avne shisha umar mora. He used different kinds of stones, different types of marble possibly, avne shisha, like the word shayesh is taken to mean marble. Rashi says shayesh yorok, shikorin beish, and the French word that he used is translated as some type of gray-brown color, and the mirmara is white. So you have gray-brown and white stones. Iko di amri, another version is b'avne kuchla shisha u mirmara. This second version adds kuchla, which is a color that's probably in the general realm of blue. So you have the blue, gray, brown, and white. Apik safa, v'ayel safa. The rows were built in an alternating indented fashion. We had one row out, one row in, one row out, one row in. Kihechi denikbil sida. With this type of stone formation, the cement that was used to keep everything in place would hold better. Savar lemichbe bedahava. Hordas had the thought to coat it with gold. Amrule rabbanon, the rabbis told him, Shafke, leave it. Do not coat it with gold. Dachi shapir tve, as it is right now, it is better. It's nicer. De merci ki idvisa dioma. It appears as the waves of the sea. In other words, with the alternating color scheme that he used, it gave the impression that you were seeing the waves of the sea. The Gemara asks, Ubovo ben Buta hechi ovid hachi. How could he do thusly? Namely, give counsel to Hordas, counsel that in effect was for his benefit. V'amar Rav Yudah Marav, v'itemar Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, mitnei ma'anen ash Doniel. Why was Doniel punished? And we'll see Doniel and his receiving a punishment discussed later in the Gemara. So we're just working with an assumption right now that Doniel was punished. Mitnei shehesi eitzel Nebuchadnezzar, because he gave counsel to the evil king Nebuchadnezzar. Of course, Doniel was a few hundred years earlier. Here he's dealing with the period of time that followed the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, and Hordas is toward the end, the latter part of the second Beis HaMikdash. Nevertheless, we saw that Doniel was punished because he gave counsel to the evil Nebuchadnezzar, Shenemar. This pasuk is a pasuk in Aramaic where you see Doniel giving counsel to Nebuchadnezzar after he had a very frightening vision. And it says in the pasuk, Lohen Malka Milki Yishpar Aloch V'chatoch B'tzidka Prok Vav Yosach B'mechan Anyin Hein Teve Arku L'Shlei Vosch. Let me pronounce that a little more accurately. L'Shlei Vosch. The thrust of this pasuk is that your sins can be redeemed through doing acts of kindness, of charity to the poor, and that will enable your monarchy to last longer, Uksiv. And the pasuk goes on to say there regarding Nebuchadnezzar, Kola Mita al Nebuchadnezzar Malka. The frightful vision that Nebuchadnezzar had actually did come upon him. However, Uksiv Uksos Yarchin Treyosar, only after at the end of 12 months. In other words, the counsel that Daniel provided was beneficial. He was able to enjoy an extended monarchy for a period of 12 months, and only after that did the frightful vision come to be. So the question is asked, how could Bava ben Buta give counsel to Hordas? The Gemara answers, Shiny Avda dechayev mitzvahs. Hordas wasn't a foreigner like Nebuchadnezzar, who was an idol worshiper, but rather Hordas was a slave, and as a slave he was obligated in mitzvos, so that makes him, we'll say, quasi one of us, and hence Bava ben Buta could give him counsel. V'boy same was shiny based on Migdash. Another difference is that he was Bava ben Buta gave counsel regarding the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, the Elo Malchus, Lo Mismini. If not Hordas, no one else, if you're not dealing with the king, no one else would be able to take care of its structural matters. The Doniel Minolon Dianish, from where do we know that Doniel was punished, as we assumed before, that he punished for giving counsel to the evil idol worshiper Nebuchadnezzar? If you would think it's because of the following pasuk, the Tikra Esther Lahasoch, in Megillas Esther, it says that Esther summoned Hasoch. The Omar Rav Hasoch said Doniel, and Rav explains that Hasoch is another name for Doniel. So where do you see that in this pasuk that he was punished? Ha nicha lemad omer shechatchu migudaso. The word hasoch, if you take the hey and interchange it with a ches, those are interchangeable type letters, you would get chotach. So that it would mean cut down. Daniel in the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar, which preceded the time of Achashverosh and Esther, Daniel was a high-ranking official. Chotach means cut down from his greatness. So you can say that in later on, you saw after he gave counsel to Nebuchadnezzar, years later when he appeared in the time of Esther, he was cut down. So that's that would show he was punished if you assume that Hasoch means cut down from his gedulos, from his greatness. But according to the opinion that says that the word chotach means decider, he was like the we'll say the final word for royal rulings. He was a high ranking official that the rulings were based on what he said. Well, we don't see him cut down. We don't see it, and we don't see any punishment. Answer: the shadyuhu leguva the aryavasa. He was thrown into the lion's den. That was his punishment. We'll see in Mirtz Hashem later on. Tosfos adds to this issue of punishment of Doniel. At this point, we go back to the points mentioned in the Mishnah regarding the building of walls between two neighbors, two partners in the Chotzer. It said, Hakol Kaminaka Medina, that all is in accordance with the local custom. Hakol Lasuyemai, when you see the expression Hakol, it's coming to include something. So it's coming to say Lasuye Asra, to include places, Dinahigi Bahutsa Vadafna, where their custom is to construct walls out of branches. Even that would be acceptable, branches, even though the Mishnah was dealing with different kinds of stone brick type walls. But if it's a location that the custom is to make walls out of branches, so be it. Lafika Himnofala Kaisel, Hamoki Vavonim Shel Shnehem. If the wall fell down, then the spot on which the wall was located and the stones belong to both of them. Mor says, Pshita, it's obvious that the stones belong to both of them. Now, Rashi, let's read the Rashi together. Pshita, Dehavonim Shel Shnehem, that the stones belong to both neighbors. Deafilu Lo Pasak Londino De Masnisen Hamalamdenu She Mitchila Bein Shnehem Asua, even if the ruling of the Mishnah that says that at the outset the wall is built between both of them, Al Korcham Hoyu Cholkim B'Shova Ha'avonim, they would have had to divide anyway the stones in an equal fashion between them. Sherei Brishus Shnehem Munachim, the stones are scattered in both of their domains. The wall fell down, the stones scattered. V'ad Mimehem Tigbar, who would have the upper hand anyway? So whichever way you look at things, it's the teaching of the Mishnah that the stones will be split between the two of them is obvious. The Gemara responds, lo, It's not so obvious. Tzricha. It needs to be taught. The nafalushus of the chad minayhu, that all the stones fell into one of their domains. It wasn't. They weren't scattered between the two of them. Inami. Another possibility is the paninhu chad lushusa didei, that all of the stones, they may have fallen into both of their domains, however, they were cleared away by one of them into his own domain. Mao de Tema, one might have thought, Nehefe Idoch, let the other one be considered Hamotzi Mechavero Olivaraya. The stones are not to be automatically split, but the other neighbor would have the burden of proof upon him to show that he also contributed, and up till that point, it would in fact go to only one of them, the one in whose domain it was found. Kalmashimlon, the Mishnah is telling us, not so. Even in a case where all the stones were in only one of their domains, the Mishnah reveals to us that the stones that comprise the wall are split between the two of them. V'chein begina mokom shenoagu ligdor mechayven oso. The Gemara now is going to look at this section of the Mishnah and point out through what we call a diuk, an inference, that there seems to be an internal contradiction. In other words, by focusing on the inferences that you draw, you're going to see contradictory information. So the Gemara says, "Ha gufa kasha." The Mishnah itself is contradictory. Amris, you say on the one hand, "V'chein begina mokom shenoagu ligdor mechayven oso." Likewise, with regard to a vegetable garden, where the custom is to create a wall, then there is obligation. Hostama, but if there's no custom between in that area to build walls in jointly owned ginos, then ain mechayven oso. So in the stam situation, there's no obligation. Amos Seifa, continue reading the Mishnah and let's see what we reveal. Avol bika mokim shenoagu shelo ligdor ein mechayven oso. In a field of grains, places where there is no custom to build. So the mokum, it's a place shenoagu shelo ligdor, a place where the custom was not to build. So there was a custom not to build. Ha stama, let's say you have a place that there is no actual custom. It's stam, it's unqualified, there is no definitive approach. Mechayven oso. So that if we read the seifa, it says a bika, where there is a custom in the bika not to build. You might recall from the Gemara that we learned earlier, in our previous shiurim, that the urgency of building a wall in a bika is less than in the case of a gina. So regarding the bika, the Mishnah in the Seifa says that in a bika where the practice was not to build walls would not be built. Hostama, but the stam situation where there was no practice either way, mechayven oso, in a stam bika, there would be an obligation to construct a wall. Well, hashto stam gino amrislo. Two lines ago, you said in a stam gina, there is no obligation to build a wall, even though, with regard to the gina, there's definitely the element of hezek re'ia, or ayin hora. Stam biko mibaya, would I need to tell you that in a stam biko, you certainly would need to build. And here, in the seifa, we're medayik, that in a stam, I should say, If in a stam gino where there's a sense of urgency, there's no obligation. A stam biko, there certainly would be no sense of obligation. And yet in the seifa we were medayik that in a stam biko you are chayev. That's contradictory. Omar Abaye, hochi komar. The way to read the Mishnah is as follows: V'chein stam gino uve'mokoyim shenoagu ligdor bebiko. Mechayven oso. In a stam gina, there is an obligation. And with regard to a bika, where the custom is to build walls in bikas, there is also an obligation. The Rashi says, Omar Abaye, Hai mokum shenoagu ligdor dekotoni masnisin. The Mishnah that made reference to places that it's customary to build walls, a bika goy, it's going only on the bika. In a bika, when would there be an obligation to build a wall if there is a custom to do so? if there's no custom, then a stam bika would not require a building of a wall. As far as a gina is concerned, even the stam gina does obligate the building of a wall. Omar le Rava, in Cain, if your reading is correct, my avol, what is the purpose of the Mishnah in the Seifa when it says avol? And we look at Rashi, im kein my avol bebeka, ha mina solik. The language of the Gemara itself was a bit terse. The problem is that if you accept Abaye's reading, the Mishnah was telling you that by a mokom shenagu ligdor bebikos, you're obligated to build. How then would you read the continuation of the Mishnah according to Abaye? The continuation says avol bikom, but you don't need to speak about bika, because that is the last point that was mentioned anyway. Vachi boya le lemisni. It should have read, Rashi tells us, avol mokom shenagu shelo ligdor ein mechayven oso, without restating bika. So Rava finds, we'll say, a reading difficulty with regard to Abaye's approach to the Mishnah. Elo Omar Rava, Hachi Katani. And Rava now reads this entire section of the Mishnah, we call the Reisha and the Seifa, as follows. V'chein stam gina, kimokom shenagu ligdor domi, u'mechayven oso. As far as halacha is concerned, he agrees with Abaye that a stam gina is a place that there is an obligation to build. However, the reference to mokoim shenoagu is a description of the stam gina as a mokoim shenoagu ligdar. So that, as far as Rava is concerned, the reference to mokoim shenoagu ligdar is not going on bika, in contrast to Abaye that said mokoim shenoagu ligdar was going on bika. So there was no reference to bika mentioned yet. Avol, and now we read on, stam bika, the unqualified type bika situation, kimokom shelo noagu domi, it is like a place where they had a definitive practice not to build walls, being mechayven oso, and it is therefore in a stam bika, there is no obligation for constructing a wall. Now, what about in a bika situation, so one of them wants to build a wall? So we saw in the Mishnah, Elohim rotzah kaines l'sof shalom bonevo sechazes mi bachutz. If one of them wants to build a wall, so he withdraws within his own piece of property and builds the wall and makes a chazes mi bachutz. As far as what mi bachutz means, that's going to be the subject of a discussion. But on a simple translation level, it would mean that he makes a type of sign, we'll say a change in the wall construction or a sign, some type of addition at the outside of the wall facing the neighbor. My chazis, Omar Rav Huna, achbe le lekarna labar. The top part of the wall is bent outwards. Rashi says at the end of the Dibur Masel Michpe Lekarna Labar Shemechabe Baroshu Avonim V'Tit U'Ma'abehu. He attaches to the top of the wall additional stones and cement and thickens the wall at the top. Question: V'Nevid Milagav. Why not make the sign inwards facing the one who built the wall? The Gemara says, well, if he does that, Ovid Chavrei Nami Milabar. The other guy who didn't contribute at all to the wall, well, he'll thicken the wall from his side, from the milabar means literally from the outside, that's from the facing the neighbor, the Omar, and then he'll claim Didi Vidide, who the wall was built between the two of us. Rashi adds Didi Vidide, who Kidikotoni Masnisin, Kishoisin Oisoi Ben Shneim, when a wall is in fact made by both of them in reality, Oisin Chosis Mikanu Mikan. That both would make the sign. In this case, it wasn't made by both of them, but the fear is that if the sign is, the thickening was made from the inside part of the wall, the neighbor will do the same thing and claim it's his. Well then, the Gemara asks, Ihochi, Hashto Nami, right now that the sign is made from the outside, Gayez Le Chavrei, the neighbor has a chance of cutting it off, shaving it off, the Omar, Didi V'Didehu, and a wall without any signs on it would be indicative that both of them built it. And the proof is that there's no sign on the wall. The Gemara says, you don't have to worry about that, because Gizuza Meida Yadia, the shaving off of a sign, is something that's recognizable. So you would be able to see anyway that the sign was there. Ika Diamri, Amar Rav Huna. Now we have you'll see an opposite version of Rav Huna regarding the location of the sign, Michba Lekana Milagav. The one who builds the wall would build it on his own property, at the edge of his own property, exclusively in his own property, and thicken the wall from within. Question, Veneved Milabar. Well, why not thicken it from the outside? Answer, Gaius Lechavre, Grimmer, Didiva Didehu. The fear is that the neighbor will shave it off and claim, here you have a wall that has no sign in it, which is a sign that, which is indicative that both contributed, which is not the case. Well, Ihachi, Hashtanami Laif Lechavre. Well, right now, that the sign is built, according to this version of Rav Huna, from within, the neighbor will add a thickening of the wall from his side. V'yomar didi v'didehu. Now you have a wall that has a sign on both sides, and he'll claim that both of us contributed to the wall. The Gemara answers, you don't have to worry about that, because lefufi, meida yadia is obvious. It's noticeable. Now we will look together in the Rabbeinu Gershom, the very bottom line. Hashtonami layefle klomar yichabrein, the neighbor who didn't contribute will attach lekoisel betit below shkia. After the wall has been constructed, he'll simply paste on, so to speak, a clump of cement at the top without it being shkia, means sunken into the actual wall construction. The guy who made the wall, when he constructed it, part of the construction was the thickening at the top. So once the wall is completed, is there not the fear that the neighbor is going to come and stick on a superficial attachment of cement? So the Gemara rejected that as a fear, because may the idea, and we take a look at the Rabbeinu Gershom again, may the idea, yecholim lahavinu lahavchin bein dvuka lishkia. If you look at the wall carefully, you will notice that there's a difference between something that's stuck on superficially versus something that was sunk into the initial wall construction. The Gemara asks, on the second version of Rav Huna, v'ha mi b'chutz katani, the sign, it said in the Mishnah, if one is making the wall exclusively in the bikkur situation, he's going to make it and stick it on, he's going to add the sign, mi b'chutz. How can the second version of Rav Huna say that he sticks in a milagav from within? He says, Kasha, that's a slight difficulty. Mr. Shem later will see Tosis explain why the Gemara uses the term kasha, meaning slight difficulty, as opposed to the term tufta, meaning to total refutation. Apparently, and we'll see in Rishon Shemitos how that could be, that the term mibachutz could still mean from within. How that's possible, as we say, let's wait for the Tosfos later. Rabbi Yochanan Omar. Rabbi Yochanan, dealing with the issue of what is a chazis, we continue at the top of Omid Beis. Nishaye ba'amsa milabar. He smears on cement at the top of the wall. Question: Veneved milagav. Why not make it from within? Why not smear on tit from within? Answer: Ovid chavre milabar ve'omar didi v'didei hu. We saw this type of fear before. The fear is that if you make it from within, the neighbor who didn't contribute will smear on tit from his side and claim that the wall was made by me too, and it was jointly made. But still right now, where the suggestion is make the sign from the outside, is there not the fear that the neighbor will come and kopil le, he'll peel it off, yomar didi v'didei hu, and claim a wall without any sign, it was made by both of us. The Gemara says, Kilufa Meida Yadia. Peeling off is recognizable. So that if he attempts to obliterate the sign made by the one who actually built the wall, he won't be successful in doing so. Hutsa, a wall that's made by branches. We mentioned earlier that the expression Kol Kaminag Medina comes to include places that the practice was to make walls with chutz v'dafna. Well, so now let's say you have a wall that was made by branches, and the issue of making a sign now arises. How is that to be done? Omar Rav Nachman. Here you see our diamonds highlight Rav Nachman and later Abaye. These are opinions regarding the making of a sign when you're dealing with a chutzah. So, Omar Rav Nachman, Snufi Yerechi Milabar. Rashi, on the third line from the top, Snufi Yerechi Libar, Roshe Hahutzim, the ends of the branches, Yasev Litzad Ste Chavero, you bend over facing the neighbor's field, Ukshia Sonef Hahutzim, Kshiyichle Hoechod, Vyitain Es Chavero, Yisanfenu Mi Bachutz. When you finish one row of branches, you would then continue the next row, also bending the ends of the branches facing the field of the neighbor. The Gemara asks, "Veneve milagav? Why not have the ends of the branches facing inwards?" Answer: Ovid nami chavre milabar. The neighbor would then be able to bend branches to his side. V'yomar didi v'didei hu, and claim we both made it. Ihochi, if that's so, hashtonami, now that the branches are bent outwards, is there not the fear, gayez v'shadileh, he'll cut off those branch ends and throw them away, v'yomar, and claim didi v'didehu, without any branch ends bent outwards, there's no sign and on this wall, on this branch wall, and he'll claim both of us made it. So the Gemara answers, you don't have to worry about that, because mishrik leitina, when he bends the wall, the branches facing the neighbor, he also smears on them cement. The Gemara asks, well, hashtonami, even with the smearing of the cement, osi chavrei v'kolifle, the friend can come along and peel it off, and you're back to the original fear. The Gemara says, kilufa meida yadia, the peeling off of cement is recognizable. Abaye Omar hutsa les leitakante elabishtora. Abaye says that a branch type fence has no solution in terms of proving who built it unless you have a shtar, unless you have a document. Rashi says, Elo b'shtorah, im also echad yovi edim v'yachtim lo, if one made it, so you should bring witnesses that would sign on that it was made by only one of them. V'im asu shnayim, if it's a case of a branch wall that was made by both of them, ya'idu edim v'yachtimu, they would have to bring witnesses and have them sign to that effect. The Sfirulei, Abai is of the opinion, Kufla detina mi'iluya utza lo yadia, the peeling off of cement from upon branches is, in fact, leaves you with a situation that it's not recognizable. We continue. If a wall was built in a place that there was no custom to build a wall, and the Mishnah says, "Avol im osu midas shneim." The Mishnah goes on to say, "Boinin es hakesil be'emtza." The wall would be built in the middle between the two of them. The oisin choses mikan umikan, and a sign would be made on both sides. The Gemara now continues with a back and forth discussion, as you can see with the alternating direction triangles, and on the side we have under our Nosei Mivne heading, this is a Ma'akav. The triangle point facing up are Shelusim Oisin Mechitza Be'emtza. If you're building the wall in the middle, then Loma Yesh Tzorach L'Chozes Mikan Mikan. What's the necessity of having signs on both sides of the wall? Now the Gemara. Omar Le Rava Miparzika L'Ravashi. A wall that is being built by both of them, lo yasu, lo zeh, velo zeh, leave the wall without any sign on it whatsoever, and that will show that it wasn't made by one. Amale, lo, tzricha, no, you can't suggest to leave the wall without any signs, because tzricha needs to be taught, namely the Mishnah that says you have to make a sign on both sides is necessary, de kodem chad minayu, the avad didei, that one of them, in fact, made a sign on his side. Below Ovid Chavre, and if the other one wouldn't also make a sign, Omar Didehu, the one that made the sign first will claim it to be his. So the Mishnah then is telling us, under those circumstances where one guy made a sign on his side, the other fellow better hasten to make a sign on his side as well, because otherwise you're going to, that would be a preventive measure against thievery. So he asks, Rova Miparzika asks Rav Ashi, does the Tana teach means of preempting thieves? Mishnayos are generally taught in telling us halacha, straightforward law, and we'll deal with the thief when the time comes, so to speak. But to teach a law that's exclusively designed to preempt thievery, that's something that's unusual, let's say. Amalei, so he responds, is that what is bothering you in my answer? The Reisha lav takanta l'ramayhu. The Reisha that said that if one builds a wall exclusively in his own domain, he makes a chazes mibachutz. Is that not also a takona against ramois? That to show, you're making a sign on the outside to show that this guy built the wall, so that the other guy doesn't come along and say that I also built it. Oh, my lay. So he answers, hi, my. How can you compare the case of the Reisha with this case? Bishlamo Reisha, Tana Dina. The Reisha tells us a basic halacha. Umishum Dina, Tana Takanta. And because of the din, so along with the din, it also tells us a solution, how to prevent thievery. Now, so what's the din of the Reisha? The din of the Reisha deals with the building of a wall in a bikka. A bikka was a place that there was no custom to build walls. And the Mishnah is telling us, since there's no custom to walls, one cannot force the other to contribute, but rather, what do you do if you want to build a wall in a bikka? You build it exclusively within your own domain. That's a din. It's a proper behavior, normal behavior. In cases of wall building in bikka, you are to build it exclusively in your own domain. Now, once I tell you that you're supposed to build it exclusively in your own domain and you can't force the neighbor to contribute, we add to that, and by the way, make a sign so as to prevent any thievery. The Gemara goes on, Ela, Seifa, Dino Katani de Katani Takanta. But in the Seifa, there isn't any din that's being taught. In other words, the Seifa describes a case where both people want to make a wall. It's obvious if both want to make a wall, so they both make the wall, and they both contribute from their own pockets to make that wall. That's obvious. That's not information that needs to be taught. And in stating the Seifa, the only pertinent information would be the Takona against the Ramois. And hence, I raise that question that Mishnayos do not come to teach me in a vacuum laws to preempt, I should say, methods of preempting thieves. Omar Ravina. Hacha behutzi askinan. The Mishnah that speaks about building a wall in the middle and making a chazus mikan mikan. We're talking about a wall made of branches. And the teaching of making a sign from both sides is lafuki merabaye, to the exclusion of Abaye's approach. The Omar, Abaye claimed, hutsa les le takanta ela bishtora, a branch constructed wall has no solution in showing who made it other than through a shtar, other than through a document or testimony. Chomashlon de bechazes sagya. What the Mishnah is telling us, according to Ravina, is that's not so. There's also a chazes method of showing who built the branch type wall. At this point, let us now turn back to Daf Dalet Omid Aleph for the Tosfosin on the Gemara that we have learned. So at the top of Daf Dalet Omid Aleph, Tosfos Gibor Maschil Shekol. The Gemara had mentioned regarding Hasoch. There was a Machlokes Rav and Shmuel regarding what Hasoch referred to. So according to the opinion that Shekol Divrei Malchus Nechtochem Apiv, the Gemara asked, that you don't see him being cut down from Gedula like the first pshat, but rather he continued to be a high-ranking official where the where rulings were decided according to his opinion. So where do you see that Doniel was punished for the eitzah that he gave to Nebuchadnezzar? The Gemara gave its answer, and the final answer given here was that, well, that he was thrown into the Guva Darius, the lion's den. Let me just correct a slight inaccuracy that I mentioned. There wasn't a machlokas Rav and Shmuel, but simply Rav had said that Hasoch was Doniel, and there were two opinions as to what Hasoch means. So within the opinion, the second opinion that Hasoch meant that Kol Divrei Malchus Nechtochem Alpiv, the question came up, where do we see he was punished? Our Gemara gave an answer, and it said he was thrown into the lion's den for having given Nebuchadnezzar years earlier the counsel, the counsel for his benefit. Tosfos introduces another source and says, Lefi Targum shel Achashverosh. That's a reference to the Targum on Megillas Esther. Ne'nash harbei. Hasoch, namely Doniel, was punished quite significantly. Sheneherag, he was executed. And his being executed was the divine punishment for his having given counsel to Nebuchadnezzar. Dichtiv. And how does the Targum Shel Chashverosh, the Targum, know that? Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Vayagidu leMordechai es divrei Esther. Esther's refusal to go into Achashverosh was then reported back to Mordechai. Velo kosav hosom Hasoch. And even though the Hasoch was involved in communicating Mordechai's will to Esther, when it came to her returning the message to Mordechai, we don't see him doing so. Why? Well, how do you explain the absence of the Hasoch? Lefi shahargo Haman, hal shehaya meishiv dvorim bein Esther leMordechai. Haman killed Hasoch because of his serving as the intermediary between Esther and Mordechai. But as we said before, Haman's ability to execute Hasoch was a divine act of retribution to the Hasoch for his having given counsel to Nebuchadnezzar. Umiu Gemara Shalonu Ein Tofes Kain. Our Gemara that explained that the punishment of Hasoch was his being thrown, Doniel was thrown into the lion's den, doesn't accept that approach. The Darshinu b'Megillah, the Gemara in our Shas, in the Shas Bavli, deals with the pasuk, and it where there was the absence of Hasoch, and the Gemara there asks in Megillah, "V'Hasoch lehechon halach? Where did Hasoch go? Why didn't he? Why wasn't he mentioned in the continuation of the story, even though he appeared at the beginning of the communication between Mordechai and Esther?" Umeforesh lefi she'ein meshivin ala kalkola. The absence of Hasoch was because, well, he didn't report back the bad news, namely that Esther refused to go into Achashverosh as per Mordechai's request, and we learn from that one is not to, let's say, be the bearer of bad tidings. Tosfos Dibur Hamaschil Hochi. We're relating to the Gemara 10 lines from the bottom of Daf Dalet Omed Aleph, where Abaye came to address the question of how to resolve what appears to be an internal contradiction in the Mishnah. And he said, thusly you are to understand the Mishnah, V'chein Begino Stam. Before we go through this Tosfos, even though you can see it's a rather short Tosfos, we have to take advantage of what we've added to the side. First, let's deal with a quote from the Mishnah. It said in the Mishnah, V'chein Begina, Mokom Shenoagu Ligdor Mechaiven Oisoi. Avo Bebika, Mokom Shenoagu Shelo Ligdor Ein Mechaiven Oso. Then Abaye on Daf Dalid said, Hochi Ko'omar. The understanding of the Mishnah is, V'chein Stam Gina, Now, if you take that reading of Abaye, Mikan ni'tan ledayek, continuing to read from what we've added on the side, from here you could infer the stam biko ein mechayven also. Because the way Abaye presented the Mishnah is uvemokum shnogu ligdor bebiko, then you're mechayven, but in a stam, in an unqualified situation where there's no minig to build, so ein mechayven also. Bo Tosfos l'taretz kushya, Tosfos that we're going to see very shortly, and I feel that Tosfos is quite abbreviated. So we're introducing what Tosfos is going to do right now. Tosfos comes l'taretz kushya shenitan lishol. He comes to answer a question that you might have asked v'hainu, and the question would be as follows: Gam labaye yesha dayan stira bein horesha v'asefa. Even with Abaye's seeming resolution, you could raise the question of an internal contradiction in the Mishnah between the Reisha and the Seifa. The Diaknu Meha Reisha, we inferred from the Reisha, the Stam Bika Ein Mechaiven Oisoi. That in a Bika where there's no known practice of building walls, in the Stam Bika, we don't obligate the other party to contribute. If you read on in the continuation of the Mishnah, you could have come to the conclusion, the stam biko mechayven oso. Because if you read the continuation of the Mishnah as things are, and you can see we have the quote right above, where it's avol bebiko mokom shenoagu shelo ligdor. Where the mokom, where the place had a definitive custom of not building, so then we don't obligate. But if it's a stam situation in the biko, we would obligate. Oh, well, what did we infer from the reisha according to Abaye's reading? That in a stam biko, we don't obligate. From the seifa, you would conclude that in a stam biko, we would obligate. Lochein Tosfos meforish divrei Abaye. Therefore, Tosfos comes to expand upon Abaye, Kadesh lo yehe stirozu, so that you don't come out with this contradiction. The Sefer, you shall explain also as follows: Avol stam bika ein mechayven oso. And kamo ma shediyaknu mereisha. If you learn the Sefer like that, it then matches what we inferred from the Reisha. In other words, the reference in the Seifa to the Bika was a reference to a Stam Bika is like a place that there is a minig not to build. But not that the Stam, not that a Bika is the Mokom where they had a definitive minig not to build, but even in a Stam Bika, you would not expect both to build. You can't force the other one to build. So you have the Sefer then being aligned with the Reisha that a Stam Bika ain't Mechayven Oso. Now let's look at the Tosfos itself. Himself. Tosfos says, Hochi Kotoni, V'chein Begin Ostam B'chulei, V'Sefer Nami Yesh L'Foresh Kain. The Sefer as well, you shall follow the same, we'll say, format. Avol Stam Bika, just like in the Reisha, according to Abaye, a Stam Gina was addressed. So too, in the Seifa, a Stam Bika is being addressed. So that in the Seifa, a Stam Bika, Umokim Shelo Nohagu Ligdor, Begina, and places in Ginos where there was a definitive practice not to build walls, Ein Mechayven Oso. There is no obligation to, you can't force the other one to contribute. So that, just to reiterate, according to Abaye, the inference from the Reisha was that a Stam Bika, you're not obligating someone to build. The Seifa also reflected upon a Stam Bika and said, Ein Mechayven Oso. Now, we continue with the next Tosfos. Dibur Hamaschil Veha. This is found on the last line of the Gemara. This is a reference to the Iko Diamri of Rav Huna that said that where only one is making the wall, so he makes the the sign, the chuzis miligav. He thickens the wall from within, facing his own property. The Gemara asked on this version of Rav Huna, v'hal mibachutz katani. Does it not say, though, in the Mishnah that he would make the sign mibachutz, which would seem to mean from the outside, not from the inside? Kasha, and the Gemara left that as a kasha. The term kasha means there is a difficulty, but it's not a total refutation. So Tosef says, utyufta eino, it's not a tyufta. It's not a total refutation of that approach. Why? How can you somehow resolve the term mibachutz with making the sign from within? Demotzinon lememar, there is room to say, hainu, the term mibachutz means shebolet chutz l'choma. It's a thickening of the wall where the cement juts out beyond the thickness of the stand of the basic wall. So the basic wall had a certain thickness to it, and the sign juts out. It juts out. That's the term mibachutz. In which direction does it jut out? That's what Rav Huna said in Ikud Yamri, milegav, facing the person who built it, facing from within. So the sign that appears from within is mibachutz, means it's jutting out from the thickness of the wall per se. Mikol mokom kashyahi. However, there still remains a slight difficulty with that. Deim kain, if the kavona was simply that it's the sign is jutting out from the thickness of the wall, mi-chutz have lei lemisi. The more accurate expression would have been that he makes a chazis mi-chutz, meaning outside the thickness of the wall. But now that the Mishnah used the term mi-bachutz, that implies that it's facing outwards. And hence, the Gemara used the term kashya, that difficulty remains. The next Tosfos that you see is really relevant to Omid Beis. So now, let us turn to Daf Dalet Omid Beis in the Gemara. You'll notice seven lines from the top regarding the issue of a sign on a branch-type wall. The suggestion had been made, why not put the cement or the smearing of the cement on the outside of the wall? So the Gemara said, that's not a good suggestion because Gaya's lay, we're doing Tosfos now, Dibor Masl Gaya's. Gaya's lay chavre v'shodi lay. The neighbor will cut it off. I should say, let me correct an inaccuracy once again. And the reference is to a sign made by bending the tips of the branches outward, facing the neighbor. So the Gemara said that's not a recommended way of, the Gemara suggested that isn't, even though Rav Nachman said have the ends of the branches facing outwards, isn't there a problem that the neighbor might cut them off? The Gemara says, Afagav deli'el omar gezuza meida yedia, even though earlier, on Omid Aleph, four lines from the bottom, we saw that in a stone wall where there was a thickening made on the facing the outside of the wall, that was a good suggestion. And though the Gemara raised the possibility that maybe the neighbor is gonna shave it off, so the Gemara there said Gezuza may the yadiyah. It's noticeable if he were to do that. So if you say that it's noticeable, then why over here is the Gemara suggesting as a problem Gaya's Le Chavre? But cutting off is something that we established is something that is noticeable. Why then over here, if the guy's trying to get away with it, are you saying he might cut it off? And here, the Gemara, in fact, said that could be a real possibility, and therefore, Mishrik Leitina. Our Gemara here on Omid Beis said, with the branch end facing outwards, you also smear on it cement. The Gemara says the reason that the Gemara here raises the fear of Gaia's Lei Chavrei and doesn't work with the conclusion that we saw that Gezuzah made the Yodia, because here we're dealing with a branch wall. Behutza Lo Yodia. The cutting off of the tips of the branches at this point, according to this approach in the Gemara, is something that would not have been recognizable. You wouldn't be able to recognize that the branches were once facing outwards. And therefore, even though regarding the stone wall and its chazes mibachutz, the cutting off doesn't present a source of worry, because Geziza Meida Yoda, with regard to a branch wall with tip and branch ends facing neighbor, that does present a source of concern, and that drove the Gemara to say, well, in the case of the branches, you'll also smear on the cement. And with regard to smearing on the cement, if he tries to peel off the cement from the branches, that would be something that is recognizable. We continue with Tosfos Dibur HaMasu LaFuki. This is a Tosfos that's printed at the top of Daf Dalid Omid Beis, the Dibur HaMasu LaFuki Midabaye. In order to appreciate this Tosfos, let's just remind ourselves a little bit of the discussion in the Gemara that led up to this. The Mishnah had spoken of a wall built between the two neighbors in a place that they voluntarily built. It was a place like a bikkah. They didn't have to build the wall between the two of them, but they decided to jointly build the wall. The Mishnah said they make a chozes mikan umikan. In the course of the discussion, the question came up, why do you need to do chazis on both sides? Leave it without any chazis whatsoever, and that will show likewise that both contributed. At the end of that discussion, Ravina appeared in the Gemara saying that, well, here we're talking about a branch type wall, and the idea of having a chazis as being an effective means of identification of who constructed it is to the exclusion of Abaye's approach taken earlier in the Gemara, where Abaye had said that a branch kind of wall has no chazis solution, the only solution being with a shtar. And the Mishnah, according to Ravina, was dealing with a branch wall and saying you make a chazis, so it says that a chazis is a solution, contrary to Abaye. Well then, how was Abaye learning the Gemara? Abaye was learning the Gemara like Rav Ashi's answer to Rav Miparzika, who said that the Mishnah that was describing a case where it's true they both built the wall, but one of them made a chazis initially. In other words, you're dealing with a stone wall. Both contributed, and one of the two contributors made a sign on his indicating that he built it. And regarding that, Rav Ashi explained the Mishnah was addressing a situation like that, that if the second guy doesn't make a sign also, you're leaving room for the first guy who made the sign to claim the wall as exclusively his own. Rav Miparzika didn't like that approach so much, because the Mishnah then is stating information that preempts thievery. That's all the Mishnah is here for, to tell us how to preempt a thief. And that is what bothered Rav Miparzika with Rav Ashi's approach. Tosfos points out that Abaye, who doesn't accept Ravina's approach dealing with the branch-type wall, in fact, let's look at the Tosfos there at the very top of Omid Beis, Lafuki min Abaye. Abaye Sovar, Abaye himself holds, the Shapir Islay, Lemisni Takanta Laramai. It's legitimate for a Mishnah to give us information that's exclusively preemptive of thievery. And that, in fact, is what Rav Ashi's approach had been. Let us now turn back to the Mishnah on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, the first wide line. We highly recommend all along the way to use the Book of Illustrations, the Pirush Chayin, and likewise over here too. The Mishnah. Hamakif es chavero misholosh ruchoisov. You have two people. One is an outer individual. He owns fields surrounding a second individual who owns a field within. So you have a type of framework, if you will, a frame of fields surrounding one party owns fields surrounding another party on all four sides, and the outer fellow builds a fence. That's makif es chavero misholosh ruchosov, v'godar es harishono ves hashnia ves hashlishis, and he builds a wall on the first, second, and third sides. Before we go further, let's take a look in Rashi though. Hamakif es chavero misholosh ruchosov shekono gimel sodo soviv sode chavero lishloishis meitzoreha. Someone bought fields surrounding someone on three sides. I said four, so Rashi is correcting my inaccuracy by saying he bought fields on three sides, and he built a fence on the three sides between himself and the inner guy. So you have the outer fellow building a separation of fence on the three sides. And v'godar es shloshtan v'nimtzo sodeh u'shalemtzoi zeh mukof misholosh ruchosov. The Mishnah goes on to say, ein mechayven oso. We do not obligate the inner person to contribute. And Rashi adds, ein mechayven oso loseh es klum k'namrino d'stam biko mokom shenogu shalo ligdorhu. You're dealing with a biko area, and as we've learned in the past, we don't obligate people to contribute to walls. This idea that ein mechayven oso, that the Mishnah says regarding the internal guy, you can't obligate him to contribute. His field remains open on the fourth side. Rabbi Yossi Omer, im omad v'godar es horavius, if he arose and fenced on the fourth side, one might understand that the outer guy happened to buy another field on the fourth side, where the internal guy is now being surrounded on all four sides, and in addition to that, the fourth side was fenced in. In other words, the internal guy is now totally enclosed, we'll say enjoying protection. Megalgalin alav es hakol. Then all of the expenses are now to be shared. Rashi says megalgalin alav es hakol. Rashi right under the Gemara text loseis chelko b'shloishes rishonis. Rabbi Yossi would appear to be machmir in expecting the inner guy now to contribute to his share with regard to all three original walls. The kivan de goder is hatsan ha-pasuach. Now that the fourth side has been enclosed, goli daite de nichole b'mai de goder chavrei. The Rashi right now is learning that Rabbi Yossi is referring to a case of imomad, if the inner guy is the one that built a fence on the fourth side. He is now showing us that he is actually happy with the walls around the original three sides. According to that explanation, you don't have to come on to say, like we said before, that the fourth guy, that the outer guy bought a field on the fourth side. Now, you might get the sense that we're not clear in our explanation. We're hesitating. The reason for that is very simply because in the Gemara itself, you will see various opinions, different versions. So the Mishnah itself, in fact, as it is, somewhat vague. What is the situation that Rabbi Yossi is addressing? Who is fencing in the fourth side? In other words, if you say that that there's no additional field bought by the outside fellow on the fourth side. So the fencing in on the fourth side would be something that the inner guy is doing. If you take the approach that an additional field comes into the picture where the outer guy is in fact surrounding him on all four sides, then we can speak of the outer guy fencing in creating a fence on the fourth side between himself and the inner field. As I said, leave an open mind regarding the exact explanation of the Mishnah. Now the Gemara. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel Halacha, K'Rav Yosi de Omar, Im Omad V'Godar Es Horavius, Magadlin Olav Es HaKoil. Rav Yehuda rules in the name of Shmuel, like Rav Yosi, that says if the fourth side of the inner field was fenced in, then all of the expenses are now to be shared. Whereas, if only three sides were enclosed, the inner guy doesn't have to contribute anything. Once the fourth side is fenced in, then he has to participate in all of the expenses. Now, here, as we indicated before, the issue is who built that fourth side? Lo shno omad nikif, lo shno omad makif. It really makes no difference whether the inner guy fenced in the fourth side. That certainly would indicate his satisfaction with the original three fences around the first three sides. And even if the Makif, the outer guy, built up the fourth side, even then we impose participation upon the inner guy to share in all of the expenses. Itmar. As we go on in the Gemara, we're going to see a Machlokas Amoroyim within Rabbi Yossi, who said that if the fourth side was fenced in, so then all expenses are to be shared. When we say all expenses, what do we mean by that? Do we mean literally the expenses of the actual walls that were built, or maybe something else? Itmar, Rav Huna Omar, Hakol Lefi Masha Godar. All expenses according to what actually was the cost of the walls that were built. Chiyo Barav Omar, not so. He has a more lenient opinion regarding the inner guy. He says, Hakol Lefi Deme Konim Bezoil. The inner guy is expected to contribute, but according to the theoretical cost or the potential cost of a much cheaper kind of wall, deme konim, the cost of reeds that would be used to build a wall at a cheap rate, bazol, cheap. So we have a machlokis Rav Huna and Chiyo Barav as to what is expected in terms of contribution of the inner guy. Tanan. We learned Hamakif es chaveru mishalosh ruchosov. You have a surrounding fellow on three sides. The goddess rishonim zeshniyav esashlishes ein mechayvenoso. If the three sides were fenced in, the inner guy is not obligated to contribute. Ha revius. If the fourth side is fenced in, mechayvenoso, we obligate him. Of course, if the fourth side is fenced in, so then the inner guy derives benefit. Emo seifa, Rav Yosi Omer, imomad v'godar es horavius, milgalgalin olav es hakol. And Rav Yosi says, if the fourth side was fenced in, so then we obligate him to pay for everything. Now, in the diuk from the Reisha, the Tanakama is said to have ruled that if the fourth side is fenced in, so then we obligate him. Rabbi Yossi says, if the fourth side is fenced in, he's totally obligated. Rabbi Yossi appears to be mechayev more than the Tanakama. Bishlomo Rav Huna, according to Rav Huna's approach within Rabbi Yossi, that the actual expenses of all four walls are now to be shared by the inner guy, So according to Rav Huna, Diomar Hakol Lefi Masha Godarba, that the expenses imposed now upon the inner guy is according to the actual wall, and we know at this point that Rabbi Yossi is more machmir. Hainu deiko bein Tanakama the Rabbi Yossi. We can say that this is the point of difference between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi. Tanakama Savar, the Tanakama, who also made reference to when the fourth wall is built, then inner guy is obligated. Tanakama holds the mei konen bezoil in umashe godar lo. The Tanakama, who appears to be more lenient, holds the demei konen bezol rate, and Rabbi Yossi, who is more machmir, like Rav Huna said within Rabbi Yossi, according to Rabbi Yossi, somar al kol lefi mashe godar, meaning according to what was actually paid for the current wall. That fits in very well with Rav Huna's explanation of Rabbi Yossi, whereby we can present a Tanakama with a more lenient position, namely Demei Konem Bezoil, and Rabbi Yossi, as Rav Huna said, with the more machmir approach vis-a-vis the inner guy, contribute according to the actual expenses. But according to Rabbi Barav, who within Rabbi Yossi said Hakol Lefi Demei Konen Bezoil, Rabbi Barav's presentation of Rabbi Yossi, who is the seemingly the more machmir approach, and yet he's giving a fairly cheap rate, and the Tanakama, who was also a lenient type opinion, my Iko Bein Tanakama the Rabbi Yossi. What's the difference between the two of them? If according to the Tanakama, you're not going to be paying even to make Konabazol, my Koyoivle, what's he paying for? What expense is he sharing? So according to Chiyo Barav, who presents Rabbi Yossi as being already lenient, how can you be any more lenient than that? What then would be an explanation for the Tanakama, who in fact is more lenient? The Gemara says there is something less. You can say that the point of difference is the fee that one would pay to hire a guard. That is cheaper than Demei Konen Bezoil. Tanakama Sovar Aga Natir in Demei Konen Bezoil Lo. The Tanakama says all you can expect of the inner guy to contribute is how much would you pay a guard. But the Demei Konen Bezoil, which is more expensive, that you could not impose on the inner guy. Rabbi Yossi Sovar Demei Konen Bezoil. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, you've got to pay for the cost of a theoretical fence on four sides made of reeds. So that's the first approach to preserve Chiyo Barav. V'boy Esema, another explanation of what might be the difference between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi according to Chiyo Barav. The following, Rishono Shnio Shlishas, he could be Nayu. Does the inner guy have to contribute toward the construction of the first three walls? Tanakama sova revias hud yoivle, avo rishonu shniu shlishis lo yoivle. The Tanakama, the more lenient opinion, would say that the inner guy has to share in the expenses of the fourth wall alone, not the first three walls. Rabbi Yossi sova rishonu shniu shlishis ami yoivle, and Rabbi Yossi would represent an opinion that says the inner guy has to contribute toward the cost of the first three walls as well. Iboyesema, another point of difference, another explanation as to what the difference between Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi be according to Chiyo Barav. Makif v'nikif ika binayu. By the way, note that we have an aleph in a diamond. A few lines later, you'll see a lishna achrina, a bays in a diamond. So you'll in both cases, and these are two lishanos, where the introduction is makif v'nikif ika binayu. But you'll have to take note of if according to both Lashonos, it's the same point of difference. So what's the difference between the two Lashonos? So you'll have to take note of who is the more machmir between Tanakama versus Rabbi Yossi. Up till now, we've been learning that Rabbi Yossi is the more machmir opinion. And we say more machmir, meaning regarding the inner guy, that he has to contribute more than what the Tanakama would say. So now we go with this third distinction between Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi. according to Reb Chiya bar Rav. So the Gemara says, Makif v'nikif v'nayu, the Tanakama sover. Taima, the Omad nikif hu, the Megaglin olav es hakoil. The only reason for expecting contribution on the part of the inner guy is because it's only in the event that he is the one that built the fourth wall. Avo Omad makif, if it's the outer guy that built up the fourth side, ain't no saying lo, elo deme revius. Then the inner guy would be asked to contribute only toward the building of the fourth side. For Rabbi Yossi Savar, lo shlo nikif, lo shlo makif. Rabbi Yossi said, makes no difference who built up the fourth side. Im omad v'godar, milgaglin olav es hakoil. Even if the outer guy built up the fourth side, the inner guy will be expected to contribute toward all of the walls. So far, according to this approach, Rabbi Yossi remains the more, machmir opinion vis-a-vis the inner guy. According to the Tanakama, the inner guy will not pay for all the sides unless he, the inner guy, is the one that built up the fourth side. The outer guy built up the fourth side. Inner guy contributes only to the fourth side. According to Rabbi Yossi, it makes no difference. Even if the outer guy built up the fourth side, the inner guy will have to contribute to all of the walls. Lishno achrino. Makif v'nikif ikobinayu. The Tanakama sofar. Im godar makif es horavias nami yohiv lei. According to the Tanakama, even if the outer guy built up the fourth side, the inner guy has to contribute. Rabbi Yossi Sovar, Im Omad Nikaf Vegodar Esravias, Hu Diyohiv Lei. Only if the inner guy built up the fourth side is he expected to contribute. The Golidaite de Nichole, by the inner guy building up the fourth side, this is the first time that he's building up a side, he's revealing to us that he's actually happy with the situation of being fenced in. So now, well, you're happy with everything, contribute. Avolim godar makif. According to Rabbi Yossi, if the makif is the one that built up the fourth side, lo yohiv le midi, inner guy, doesn't have to pay whatsoever. According to this approach, and this is something that Tosfos will point out, Rabbi Yossi here represents a more lenient opinion. Whereas, according to the Tanakama, even if the outer guy built up the fourth side, inner guy has to contribute. According to Rabbi Yossi, if outer guy built up the fourth side, inner guy doesn't have to contribute. Now, let us turn to the Tosfos on the Gemara that we have learned. We're looking at Tosfos on Daf Dalet Omid Beis, second from the top, Dibur Maschil Im. This Tosfos is going on the second wide line of the Gemara, which in fact was in the Mishnah, focusing on Rabbi Yossi's opinion. And he said, Im Omad Vegodar Es Horavias, if he arose and built the fourth wall, then Megagol Leves Hakol. We saw that in the Mishnah. Tosfos points out, within Rabbi Yossi, Lo Garsinon, do not have as a textual version Im Omad Nikaf. And the text that we have, in fact, does not have that. All the text said is Im Omad. And we spent a certain amount of time earlier with our disclaimers and indicating the vagueness of the Mishnah. In fact, this is what Tosfos is addressing. There is a pronoun, and it's not clear who it is, as in our text. And it's important that the word Nikaf, the inner guy, as being the one that built the fourth side, does not appear within Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says that if he built the fourth side, then inner guy must contribute. Who is the one that built up the fourth side? So Tosfos is saying, do not tell us within Rabbi Yossi that it's the Nikaf, the inner guy, that built up the fourth side. Tahalukulu lishni de Gemara koi amakif. According to all of the versions of the Gemara that we saw, we had them numbered off throughout the Gemara. We saw
as far as Rabbi Yossi is concerned, according to all of the Lashonas of the Gemara, it was even the Makif building up the fourth side that the inner guy, the Nikif, would have to contribute. Bar Milishna Basra, with the exception of the last Lashon. In our markings, you'll notice that was Lashon 3 days. And that was found starting from three lines from the bottom. In that version, the Gemara had said, Makif v'nikif ikobinayhu. And in the Bay's version, Rabbi Yossi then said, it was Rabbi Yossi as opposed to the Tanakama, Rabbi Yossi says, only if the nikif built up the fourth side, then he would have to contribute. But up till that point, Rabbi Yossi was in fact the machmir opinion, indicating that even if the makif, the outer guy, builds up the fourth side, the inner guy would have to contribute. Therefore, it's not suggested to have as a girsa in the Mishnah within Rabbi Yossi that the fourth side was built up by the nikif, and then he has to contribute. Though it's true when you get to the last version. But that's only the last version, and it's a Lishna Achrina. Therefore, don't have in the Mishnah the Girsa of Omad Nikif. Simply, as it is, as we have it, Im Omad V'Godar Oravias, leaving room to say that even if the fourth guy, even if the outer guy built the fourth side, the inner guy must contribute. V'Hada Diag Perakitzer Regel in Bava Kama, the Gemara has an inference where the Gemara says, Taimo Denikov, the reason that the inner guy has to pay is because he is the one that built up the fourth side. Ha Makif Potter. If the Makif built up the fourth side, the inner guy would be exempt. Well, Hainu Lahu Lishna. That approach in Bava Kama actually matches the last version in our Gemara. Now we turn to the next Tosfos, Demei Konen Bezol. You'll find this in the Gemara on the sixth wide line. At that point in the Gemara, Chiyo Barav was explaining Rabbi Yossi that in the event that the fourth side is built up, so the inner guy has to contribute a cheap rate, even though the wall itself was a solid stone wall, quite expensive. He's not expected to pay the full expensive rate. He gets away with a much cheaper payment to make Konen Bezol. The Tosfos deals with a situation. In other words, he wants to contrast our Gemara with a situation where someone came along and planted someone else's field, a field that's not expected to be planted. And he went without being asked, without being instructed, he went ahead and planted what's called a Sodeh Sheina Suilita. And in a case like that, does the guy who planted, who created benefit for the owner of the field, does he get any payment? So the Gemara in Bava Metzia, according to Rav and Shmuel, the uninvited planter is entitled to payment. He's not going to get a full rate, but he'll get a rate that is evaluated based on whether the increased value of the field is greater than the expenses, or the expenses are greater than the increased value, and he gets compensated accordingly. One thing is clear, though, that the uninvited guy does get a reasonable type of compensation, which would be more than Demei Konen Bezol in our case. In other words, here you have the inner guy that is now fenced in on the fourth side. Even if the outer guy put up the fence, there's an increased value now in the inner field that's totally protected. And that increased value is going to be more than Demei Konen Bezol. So the question is, why does the inner guy get away with it and pay that low rate? Tosfos will then give us an answer. But in the meantime, let us turn to the Tosfos text and see how the question is presented. Tosfos Dibur Masel Demei Konen Bezoil V'im Tomar, you might ask, my shno, what is different about our case than misod shein asui alita, regarding a piece of land that is not expected to be planted with trees? If someone comes along without being asked, without permission, he wasn't hired to do so, and he plants this field that one would not expect to be planted, he planted it anyway, which increases the value of the field. Omar Rav Ushmuel B'Hashoyel, in Perek Hashoyel in Bova Metzia, Rav and Shmuel say, Shomin Lo, an evaluation is made, V'yodo Ala Tachtona, and he has his hand literally is underneath, meaning he has a lesser claim, and we explained earlier that we evaluate. If the increased value of the field that's now planted is more than the expenses, the guy who planted it will be entitled to recover his expenses. If the expenses exceed the increased value, he'll be entitled to receive as payment the increased value of the field, even though it doesn't cover his expenses. So that's that in Bova Metzia is the method of evaluating how much someone has to pay for things he didn't ask for. Likewise, in our Gemara, shouldn't that be the way to evaluate? Let's say the inner guy now finds himself fenced in on the fourth side, and the let's assume that the outer guy fenced in the inner guy now on the fourth side. So the inner guy would have to contribute like that. Why not say Shomin Lo V'yodo Ala Tachtona, like we just suggested? Why does he get away with such a low rate of paying Demei Konen Bezoil, which is clear to Tosfos as being less than the Yodo Ala Tachtona evaluation? The Omer Ri. The Ri answers, the Shaini Hocha, this case is different. Meaning our inner guy that's fenced in now on the fourth side, he has a counterclaim. The Motzi Omarle, he, the Nikaf, the inner guy, can say, you're asking me to pay, the Yodo Ala Tachtona method. As far as I'm concerned, I would have been satisfied with hiring a guard that would cost even less. Natir Barzuz, we saw in the Gemara, was less than Demei Konen Bezoil. In order to frighten away animals for me to derive protection, it would have been enough for me to hire a shomer bezuz, being very very small amount of money. And therefore, that's a significant enough counterclaim to being expected to pay according to the method we saw in Bova Metzia. Ah, but in reality, he doesn't pay that little. He does pay Demei Konen Bezoil, which is a little more. Umikol Mokom Demei Konen Bezoil Yohivle. And still, the inner guy does have to pay the cost of what would have costed to build a reed fence, which is more than the Tira Barzuzo. Danan Sadi, we bear witness, Deim Hoya Motsam. If the inner guy had chanced upon reeds that were really cheap, he in fact would have used them, bought them for fencing in the fourth side. And since we know his mindset that he would have laid out that amount of money, he has to pay that amount and not as little as Natira Barzuza. Let us now turn to Tosfos Dibur HaMaschil Shnia. This is referring to the Gemara, seven lines from the bottom of the Gemara. We were dealing with the difference between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi, according to Chiyuba Rav, whereas the Tanakama would say that when the fourth side is built in, the inner guy contributes toward the fourth side, but not toward the Rishona, Shnia, Ushlishis. So Tosfos says Shnia, Ushlishis, lo. The first three sides, lo. The Gemara says he, the inner guy, does not have to contribute. However, the fourth side, the inner guy will have to contribute, even if the outer guy builds up the fourth side. Omeri, now the Re explains why the fourth side obligates the inner guy to contribute. Dehainu taima, this is the reason, and the Marsha explains that the Re is coming to explain why, according to the Tanakama, the inner guy will have to contribute toward the fourth side. The Hainu Taima, the Ein Lecha Adam Shelo Hoya Misayea L'Ravias Al Menas Shehe Godur Midalid Muchosav. There is no one that would not have helped, would not have contributed to be fenced in now on all four sides. That with the building of the fourth side, he's now completely fenced in, experiencing a sense of real security, real protection. So since there is no one that wouldn't, let's say, appreciate that, and there is no one that wouldn't contribute toward that, so the inner guy is expected to contribute for the fourth side. The Re is not dealing with the issue of the exemption of the first three sides, but we can understand, the Marsha points out, like the Gemara in Bava Kamma, that the inner guy could claim, as far as the first, as if only the first three sides were put up, I would have been happy with Netira Bar Zuza. If that is something he could have claimed, so you might have asked, so why is he should be exempt for the fourth side as well? So we answer that, like the Re said, once the fourth side is built up, you're not going to find anyone that would not have contributed toward that. Now, as we go on in the Tosfos, he quotes Rashi, and the Rashi that Tosfos quotes is, in fact, an explanation as far as why the Tanakama exempts for the first three walls. That even though the inner guy will have to contribute when a fourth side is put up, he contributes to the fourth side. He doesn't have to contribute to the first three sides. So Tosfos goes on to say, Ubekuntris Pirish, the Rashi explains, when the first three sides were put up and the fourth side left open, at that point, with the completion of the third side, the inner guy remained exempt. So there's an expression you see in the Tosfos, he was Yotzmi Bezin Zakai. It's as if he left court with a verdict of innocence, of exemption. So once you received a court ruling of exemption, we can't impose now any obligations on the inner guy regarding those first three sides. Hagah. However, Tosfos, there's a comment added to the Tosfos Uksas Kosher. According to the Rashi approach, is a slight difficulty. The Im Kain, if you're going to say inner guy is exempt based on Yotza mi based in Zakai, Gambur Avias Yetze Zakai ad Tefach Acharon. Even with regard to the fourth wall, he should not have to contribute until the very last handbreadth, till the very end. Meaning that as long as he doesn't have protection, half the fourth wall is built, it's still open, so he's exempt. In using this analysis of Yotzumi Beis Zakai, he's exempt until the point that he starts benefiting. And yet, we do see that he has to contribute his full share to, I say, he has to contribute his share, his share in the complete fourth wall. So the ruling of the Mishnah and the Gemara regarding inner guy's contribution toward the fourth wall doesn't seem to parallel the analysis that Rashi used to explain the exemption for the first three walls of Yotso, Mibeiz, and Zakai. Just to repeat, because according to that, even with regard to the fourth wall, he shouldn't have to contribute except for the last Tefach. And yet we don't say that, and hence the Tosfos ends up with a Ksas Kosher statement regarding Rashi's analysis. We turn to the last Tosfos on the Omid, even though it's not the last Tosfos that's relevant to the Omid, because on the top of Daf Hey we have a Tosfos that's relevant to the Gemara that we've already learned. But now we're turning to Tosfos Dibur Masa Reb Yossi Sovar, Im Omad Nikif VeGodar Es Ravias. This is relevant to the second line from the Gemara, from the bottom of the Gemara, Daf Dalet Amud Beis. This was the Beis version of the third approach to explaining Chiyo Barav. And according to this approach, and we mentioned this when we were learning the Gemara, Reb Yossi here turns out to be the more lenient opinion, namely that imposition of cost on inner guy for the wall building will be only if he, the inner guy, built up the fourth side. Reb Yossi, we're reading the Tosfos, Reb Yossi, Sovar im Omad Nikif VeGodar Es Horavias. According to the Tanakhama, even if the Makif built up the fourth side, the inner guy would be obligated to contribute. So according to this version, it turns out that the Tanakhama is more Machmir and Reb Yossi is more lenient vis-a-vis the inner guy. Afagav di'ad hashta hoya machmir. Even though up till this point, in presenting the opinions of the Tanakhama and Reb Yossi was the more machmir regarding the inner guy, k'demashma lishna demegalgalin Allah ves ha'koil. The language of Reb Yossi in the Mishnah was, we impose everything upon him, meaning the need to contribute toward everything is imposed upon him, which gives us the impression that Reb Yossi is more machmir than the Tanakhama. In fact, at the opening of the early part of the Gemara, after Chiyo Barav appeared, we inferred from the Tanakhama's remark that if the fourth side is put up, then he has to contribute. And then we read Reb Yossi, says, oh, Megalgalin Aves HaKol. That gives the impression that Reb Yossi is more machmir is more machmir than the Tanakhama. What about this last lashon in the Gemara? Lahach lishna lo havi hachi. According to this last lashon, not so. Why? What, let's say, counterweight could there be to suggest that Reb Yossi is more lenient? The lashon im omad, mashma nikif. If you go back to the Mishnah, Reb Yossi says im omad, if he arose. Meaning, someone that hadn't been doing anything till now, namely the inner guy, he had nothing to do with the building of the first three sides. He, the Nikif, now arose and built the fourth side. So that is Mashma Nikif. That implies that only if the Nikif built the fourth side would he be expected to contribute, not the Makif. So if you take that approach, then you can appreciate why Reb Yossi would appear as a more lenient approach vis-a-vis the inner guy, more lenient than the Tanakhama. We turn now to a Tosfos that you'll find at the top of Daf Hey Omid Aleph, but it's relevant to the Gemara on Dalid Omid Beis, and it appears that it's relevant to the Gemara five lines from the bottom of Dalid Omid Beis. So the Tosfos Hago Kosav Bisforim Avol. Now in our Gemara, five lines from the bottom, the expression appears Aval Omad Makif. So Aval Makif. Lo Yohiv Le Elo Deme Revius. In our Gemara, the language was Aval Omad Makif, Eno No Sein Lo Elo Deme Revius. And this was an explanation of the Tanakama, who holds that if the inner guy built up the fourth side, then he has to contribute to everything. But if the outer guy built up the fourth side, then the inner guy pays only for the his share of the fourth wall. Vekoshe, Tosfos asks, Diminolon diyohiv le'afilu demei revius. If the makif built up the fourth side, who says that the inner guy has to pay even for the fourth side his share? Dilma lo yohiv lei klal. Maybe he pays nothing. V'chein mashma b'ketzer regel. And in fact, that's what the Gemara in Bava Kamma would seem to imply. De Komar, there, the Gemara is discussing an issue of Zenen and Vezelo Choser, and it says, Taimo de Godar Nikaf. The reason why the Nikaf has to contribute to the walls is because he is the one that built up the wall. Oh, Makif Potter. But if the Makif did the building, then the Nikaf is completely exempt. Now, over there in Bava Kamma, there was an attempt to use this as proof. Shma Mino, we would conclude from this. Zeh Nene, inner guy benefits. Vezeh Lo Choser, and the outer guy who built up the fourth side isn't losing out because he wanted to have a fence anyway. Potter, well, inner guy, is exempt. So that the Gemara there in Bava Kamma was trying to use this example as an illustration of a general principle. Vidochi, the Gemara there in Bava Kamma says, you can't use that as a general principle. Shiny Hossam, there it is different. The reason for the Nikaf being exempt, he doesn't have to contribute, because the Amale, the Nikaf, could claim to the Makif, Ladidi Sagili Benatira Barzuza. I would have been happy with a guard that you can pay practically nothing. You pay a Zuz for the guarding. I don't need the fences. But for our purposes in constructing the question, it as far as the specific case of the fence, regardless of the general issue of Zenen and Vezelo Choser, regarding the specific case of the fence, inner guy does not have to contribute. Once again, let's repeat. If the outer guy builds up the fourth side, the conclusion from Bava Kamma would be inner guy does not have to contribute. Why then in our Gemara does it say that if the outer guy builds up the fourth wall, the inner guy has to contribute toward the fourth wall? He shouldn't have to pay anything. Mihu yesh litchois. However, you can reject the question. You can avoid the question, respond to this difficulty by, let's say, reinterpreting our understanding of what the Nikaf is saying back to the Makif there in Bava Kamma. The Hochi Komar. This is what the Nikaf is saying. L'didi, Sagi Li Benetira Bar Zuza. I would have been happy with a guard that would pay a Zuz. Hilkoch, and as a result of that claim, Potter Musaila Dalid Ruchas. He's exempt from having to contribute to all four sides, meaning he's exempt from having to contribute to the first three sides. Aval revies, but as far as the fourth side is concerned, Yisayeah, there he's expected to contribute, and based on logic that we saw in an earlier Tosfos on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, the Ein Cha'odom Shelo Yisayeah LeRevius. You're not going to have anyone that wouldn't want to contribute toward the final fencing in, namely the fourth side. Shia Godur Me'arba Ruchosav, that he should be enjoy being surrounded on all four sides by having the fourth side fenced in as well. So as far as the Gemara in Bava Kamma, when the inner guy responds, I would have been happy with Netira Bar Zuza, that's an explanation for why he doesn't have to contribute to the first three sides. But once the fourth side is built, even if it's built up by the Makif, For the fourth side, the nikaf would be expected to contribute based on this idea of ein lucha adam shaliyaseber levias shegodor me'arba ruchosav. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.